Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
On this episode of Big Boys Don't Cry, we discuss the film Irish Wish. You don't have to have seen the film to enjoy the podcast, but if you do listen without having seen it, just be aware there may be spoilers. Enjoy.
Hello, Paddy Johnston, the man with the Irish name.
Top of the evening to you. Is that a thing? No, that's not a thing.
You ready to dive into 90 minutes of terrible depictions of Ireland?
That's no way to talk about our podcast. We could never manage 90 minutes. Not on a film like this, anyway.
No, absolutely not. How are you today? How's it going?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, man. Not too bad. Yeah, we're talking about this film just in time for St. Patrick's Day, which was like 3 weeks ago.
Our timing is impeccable.
Yeah, still feeling good about St. Patrick's Day. The boys love St. Patrick's Day, by the way. We celebrated it. They've got matching St. Patrick's Day t-shirts. We celebrated our heritage. And yeah, we're still riding high off of that until we saw this film. So...
until you saw it, and now it's ruined everything.
Yeah, no, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I am extremely tired, but I'm ready to dunk on a bad movie.
Good. I think those, when you go into the episode with that kind of energy, these always result in the best ones, don't they? But I don't want to oversell it.
I was going to say, I mean, it may well end up being a meandering, long-winded nonsense fest, which is the other. There's two kinds of episodes of this podcast. There's the
if
meandering...
you're just tuning in for the first time, somehow.
Yes, somehow. It's a meandering, long-winded nonsense fest that's entertaining, or it's a meandering, long-winded nonsense fest that is less entertaining. Those are our two modes of play.
If you've stumbled upon this thinking that you're about to listen to an episode on Disney's film Wish, which just came to Disney Plus, then you may be disappointed.
What's Wish? Which one is Wish?
Wish is the one that came out last year. It's like the one that they made just for the 100th anniversary, so it's a bit of a weird one. It got a pretty negative reaction from both audiences and critics, but I actually quite liked it. It's actually like a dark fantasy film, and it's got Chris Pine as the like king who turns evil in it and steals everyone's wishes and locks them away and sings a song about how he don't get no thanks for being the king. It's great.
It's got the guy from Titanic as the voice of someone.
Oh, which guy from Titanic? Billy Zane?
No, I wish. No, he's the ship creator. That guy.
Victor Garber.
He voices Sabino. Alan Tudyk in it. Okay, I'm sold on this.
Tudyk, unfortunately, I'd say it's his worst role. His character is very irritating and adds nothing, but the voice is perfect for the character, so no disrespect to Alan Tudyk, who is a legend.
Was he the Frozen Snowman equivalent character?
Pretty much, yeah. Imagine that, but it's a goat that talks for no reason and occasionally adds a line that adds absolutely nothing to the film whatsoever.
Donkey from Shrek's Wario.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
It's a goat that's inexplicably wearing pajamas. But no, what they tried to do with this film was to, like, the animation style is sort of, it tries to be both sort of modern and 3D and also to sort of hark back to the animation style of the Disney classics of, like, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And it doesn't quite work. And it's full of, like, references to lots of old Disney films that don't really come together. So it focuses too much on that at the expense of delivering a good story. But I actually think the story kernel that is in there is really good. And there's this whole like dark fantasy world to be explored about a king who steals people's wishes. It's a really, really good concept, like not that well executed. But I think you might like it.
Yeah, that sounds like exactly my cup of tea. A movie that tries to do ambitious weird shit and doesn't quite make it. Can I make a probable blunt point? Were people angry about it because the lead character's black?
I think that probably happened as well, yes.
Was that part of the anger towards this movie?
Yes. There's also that.
I mean, there's got to be, right? This is people on the internet giving movies a bad score.
Yeah.
It's a black woman. They must despise it because people on the internet are racist.
Yeah, that's the internet reaction. But the critical reaction was lukewarm as well. Like, yeah, people didn't have any reverence for it just because it was Disney and it was their 100th anniversary thing. Most people kind of panned it. Well, maybe not as far as pan, but just sort of went, it's...
I see it gets a 47 on Metacritic. That's not very good.
Yeah. And the songs are good as well. A lot of people said they didn't like the songs. I like the songs. We've listened to the soundtrack. Chris Pine's song is the best one by far. You should listen to it. It starts off saying, "I can't help it if mirrors love my face." I mean, if there's anyone better to sing that line than Chris Pine. And that's also the other thing as well about Chris Pine is, like, if I hadn't seen him in that Dungeons & Dragons film last year, I might not have enjoyed his character as much, because I feel like it almost builds on that role.
Okay, yeah. I like old Christopher Pine.
Yeah.
Christopher Pine, you're so fine, I just can't get you off my mind. If you're wondering what song I'm singing there, it is a Patty Johnston classic.
I don't know if that song is actually online anymore.
Scrubbed everything. I was looking for something to show Katie the other day, and yeah, you've done a Stalin. You've Stalinist purged your previous works.
I don't think that's quite what Stalin was doing, you know, was it? Getting rid of his juvenilia.
You know, when he was photoshopping people out of photographs, that's what you've been doing. Kimberly Pine, You're So Fine.
Yeah.
Is your equivalent of that.
Yeah, the song from my old band, exactly the same thing. Our old band. Yeah. Maybe I'll bring it back. I'll let it resurface naturally. The thing is, I need someone else to find it, not me. I just post my own juvenilia, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
You should do the smuggest thing possible, which is lo-fi versions of your old songs.
Yeah. The audience for that is no one.
I would love it. I would be the audience.
No, that's true. I sent it around to all our old band members. There were eight of us, to be fair.
And you went through various iterations, so you're talking at least 15 people, I'd say.
That's true. Yeah. We've had a lot of members come and go, a bit like Slipknot or the Polyphonic Spree, or, you know, one of those.
The Fall.
The Fall, yeah.
We've all played bass for Paddy Johnston. Actually, did I ever play bass for you? I was always guitar, wasn't I?
Yes, you're right. You were guitar.
Yeah, I was guitar.
Bass in many other bands, but no, for me, you were guitar.
You had the special Rob Gordon guitar treatment.
Yeah, I appreciated it. It was a good time. Especially you wrote the Coldplay guitar lines.
I was going to say, when I did the Coldplay guitar lines in a band that in no way or shape or form liked Coldplay.
Yeah. Well, also, I wrote a song about my favourite character from Scott Pilgrim, which now that like 15 years later has had a resurgence because of this new anime. So maybe it's time.
You should 100% redo it and just put it up on Spotify and places.
Yeah.
And Bandcamp and just see what happens.
See what happens. Everyone's gonna hate it.
Excuse me, this is problematic.
I'm gonna get cancelled by the woke mob.
How dare this old man call Kimberly Pine fine?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was good. That was an amazing song, though. One of your best.
That was one of the best. Good guitar solo.
Oh yeah, had a great guitar solo.
I do miss those days, man. Like playing shows and not really caring if anyone showed up, and just like getting up there and having a good time playing silly songs.
The best gig of all time was when we played, and the band that the short guy from the Automatic formed after he left the Automatic.
Decimals.
The headliner. Decimals, that's right.
I lent them my amplifier.
Yeah, and he was furious.
Yeah. He was just doing his thing. It was him, and then there were some guys behind him. But no one was paying attention to them.
And he was absolutely livid because he was just furious. I remember he was staring a couple of us down in the audience as we watched him play. It was absolutely surreal experience.
Very strange guy. We sort of chatted to him a bit before the show, didn't he? But he mostly just kind of cracked jokes at our expense.
He was quite
talking
aloof.
About how we were like Slipknot because we had lots of members and asking us where the DJ booth was going to go, which is a good gag, to be fair. But and then he was like, Weezer had just released that song Can't Stop Partying, and he was singing it like over and over and over again. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember.
Interesting guy. Alex Penny from The Automatic. I know you listen every week.
If you're listening, hi.
Hi,
nice to meet you.
Great
like
time.
15 years ago.
That was cool.
It wasn't quite 15 years ago, was it? Was it 14 years?
14 years ago.
14 years ago, we met you.
Yeah.
You were very aloof, and I wonder what you're doing now.
I've got no idea, actually, to be fair.
You know who we know is doing stuff these days?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Michael D. Higgins, the president of Ireland, who pets his dogs during a speech. I very much appreciate him. I very much do not appreciate the film Irish Wish.
Yeah, what did you think of Irish Wish then?
I thought it was atrocious.
Did it fulfill all your wishes of Ireland?
No, sadly not.
I wasn't as big a fan of the Christmas movie she was in as you were.
Yeah, that one I was pleasantly surprised by. Was it called Falling for Christmas?
Yeah, which was all right. That was an all right one, and she was charming in it.
But it had the guy from Glee in it, with the flicky hair, the handsome man.
Handsome man from Glee. Whereas this movie is terrible, and it has a man from Outlander.
Yeah, that guy. I vaguely recognised him.
Man from Outlander, who is Welsh. He's not Irish.
Yep.
Could they not hire an Irish actor to play an Irish character? And then you had Ed Spilliers as our actual love interest because they have a grumpy, will they, won't they thing.
With an English guy in a film called Irish Wish.
Yeah, the love in this movie.
I don't know that anyone really thought through the
Leap Year was a bad movie. Leap Year was a bad movie, if you remember Leap Year.
I'm afraid that I do. I'm afraid it haunts my nightmares quite often. That was Matthew Good, wasn't it?
That was Matthew Good. And was it Amy Adams?
Being Matthew Bad. Yeah. It was Matthew Good, Amy Adams. That's the one where she plugs in her phone and blows up the whole of Dingle.
Yes, that's right. Which was a bad movie. However, at least the male love interest was someone pretending to be Irish instead of it just being an American and an Englishman falling in love in Ireland.
Yeah.
There are various things in this movie that breach the Good Friday Agreement, to be perfectly honest. Firstly, that he's called the most successful writer in the he's the most successful UK writer.
Yeah.
He's Irish. Ireland is not the UK.
This film does not care at all for the history of Ireland and the UK.
The filmmakers
It cares not for the oppression of the Irish people and the history of all of that. It cares not for the troubles.
Yeah, they clearly had never watched The Wind That Shakes the Barley, had they?
They've clearly never seen Liam Neeson in Michael Collins.
It's just atrocious. An atrocious understanding of geography, of the geopolitical climate between Ireland and the UK. Yeah, and then of course, yeah, you've got an Irishman being cucked in a fantasy wedding by an Englishman Ireland, which is not a very, I don't know.
I mean, that's a film you can do if you're trying to make a political point, but I don't feel like this is the film to do it, really.
This is a movie with zero political points. But our Englishman, I recognised him, and I wasn't sure where from. Did you recognise him?
Yeah, so he's the kid from Eragon. Did you ever see that? Did you ever read those books?
See, I'd never read the books, and I never watched Eragon. That's the dragon-y one, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a dragon. And the guy, so Christopher Paolini wrote the books when he was an actual teenager. So a lot of people tend to sort of diss them, but I think there's some really good stuff in there that I really enjoyed when I was a teenager, and he's continued to write a lot of cool stuff, and I thought the film was all right, you know? So there's lots of the books. It's originally called The Inheritance Cycle. The series is called The Inheritance Cycle. And he's still churning them out, you know, so good for him.
I recognised him from what year was it? The 2015 horror movie Howl.
Howl.
Which is...
Howl's Moving Castle.
Which is a movie about evil monsters that attack a train. And he's train guard?
I've just looked at this. This is an incredible poster. Are you looking at the same one I'm looking at?
It's great, isn't it?
With the train coming towards it and then the monster in the
background.
There's
a wolfman in the background.
That's a really good poster.
So he's a train guard. And then there's... he's in love with the food woman on the train.
The food woman.
Yeah, and then, like, werewolfy monsters attack. It's great. It's a really silly... The only problem with the movie is that it has like a really serious ending, even though the rest of the movie is ridiculously silly. And I find that a lot of horror movies do that, particularly English ones. They put a really serious end to the film. It's like, no, you want something just nonsense. You want a big nonsense movie. But if you want to watch a fun little horror movie about monsters on a train, go watch Howl. It's certainly better than Irish Wish.
Snakes on a plane, monsters on a train.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was in Downton Abbey as well.
Ah, okay.
I think he was quite a prominent character on that show.
I would say that a train is quite a good setting for a horror movie. And there have been a few movies on trains that are like horrors or whodunits and stuff. Because you've got that enclosed space and the cramped environment.
Have you seen the Kenneth Branagh Murder on the Orient Express?
No, I have not. Sorry, I was yawning.
Kenneth Branagh,
no,
God,
I've heard
so boring.
It's good.
It's actually very good. I was pleasantly surprised by it. Like, I don't usually go in for Poirot-type mysteries, but I think he's just hammy enough. You know, he does a great job.
Yeah, I quite like a good silly whodunit, but it's got to be well done, and I've heard that it is well done. So at some point, I'll get around to watching it.
Yeah.
But Irish Wish could do with some of the characters getting murdered. It would have really spiced things up.
Oh, can you imagine if suddenly it just turned into like a whodunit in the middle?
That would be good. I'd love a genre subversion like that.
Yeah. And then St. Bridget just turns around. You see her in the window. She's just winking there.
Yeah. You know, one thing that really annoyed me about this film, like irrationally annoyed me, was that she gets on a bus and the bus driver takes her directly to where she wants to go. That's not how buses work.
No, but yeah, the location wasn't really specified, but some of it was filmed in Wicklow, which is where my family's from.
Oh, that's cool. Again, that was not a snarky one. I'm just incredibly tired.
No, I'm glad you could stay awake for this, because this film almost put me to sleep. Actually, we watched it, me and my wife watched it together before we had decided that we were going to watch it, and I got bored halfway through and left the room. So I then had to come back and watch the other half of it, like a couple of weeks later. So I watched it in quite a disjointed manner, but I honestly don't think it would have mattered.
No, I don't think it would. And it is it's an incredibly boring movie, isn't it? And that's the big problem with it, is the plot shouldn't be as dull as it is. This woman goes, she's an editor for a writer, but she's secretly writing his books, which I'm sure does happen a fair bit more. Maybe not editors, because the actual structure of editor and author is a little bit not like this in reality as well, you know.
But I think that I would venture to say that it has happened perhaps more times than we would know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She's secretly writing his books and she's in love with him. However, he does not love her. And instead, he's going to marry someone else or something. I can't really remember.
So at the beginning, it's his very tedious book launch where the very obvious setup is done.
And he's flirting.
And he introduces her. She thinks he's going to like propose to her. And then instead he asks her to work with him on his next book. And of course she accepts because she's a wet blanket. And then he meets her friend who she's brought along to the thing. And they're all like looking at his sexy photo on the cover and going, oh, he's a handsome author man. And then like the next scene is like fast forward a few months, he's getting married to her friend in Ireland.
That's right. That's right. And then she meets a strange woman and decides to make a wish, as you do when you meet a strange woman. It turns out...
Yeah, does the woman tell her to do the wish?
Sort of.
She probably does, doesn't she? She's sitting on a bench being all whimsical.
Yeah, sort of. It's kind of like an implied, hey, you should make a wish. And then, so she makes a wish that instead she's in a relationship with Irish...
She wakes up and her wish has come true, and then she spends half an hour being surprised by that fact. And then when it is eventually reversed, she then spends a good 10 minutes being like, oh, my wish has been reversed. I am in this room now. Here I am.
It's almost as if they...
Like, the script on that is so bad. And her acting, I'm sorry, I like Lindsay Lohan, right?
She's terrible.
Her acting in this film is atrocious.
Yeah.
I thought in the Christmas one, she actually brought some genuine warmth
absolutely.
And light to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Whereas this is
But
just
this really felt phoned in.
Absolutely awful. And yeah, I wonder how much of that was with them trying to make a movie extremely on the cheap and realizing, hey, we can just have her acting surprised about stuff. stuff for half an hour, and that means we yeah. don't actually have to do anything other than have her walking around a castle. Or
that'll be easy, and the beauty of Ireland will just sell it. And to be fair, the shots of all the places were very nice, I thought.
Yeah, and you've got that inexplicably clean pink boat in one scene.
Yeah.
That boat would not really be that pink. They literally must have painted it for that scene. It's just, all right, fair enough. They've got all of these pretty scenes of Ireland, and it's like, yeah, okay, but where's...
So it looks nice, and there's a nice score that is wasted on an incredibly boring, tedious film of Lindsay Lohan, yeah, just being surprised by everything.
Like, genuinely just cut out all of the pretty scenes and make a Visit Ireland advert that you play on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, and then just dump the rest of it, because it's so boring. Like, genuinely so boring, and every single step of this film is so obvious. So she meets grumpy Englishman at the airport before the wish has been granted, and they're like, we've got the same bag. Oh no, we don't. And it's incredibly obvious.
And then she's a massive knob and tries to like grab his bag off him, which is literally the only time in the entire film that she shows any agency or initiative whatsoever.
Yeah, she's led by the wish the rest of the time.
Yeah, she is incredibly passive as lead characters go, yeah, isn't she?
Absolutely. Does she ever make any decisions by herself in this movie?
I don't think so. No, she makes the wish, obviously. But then from that time, she's just sort of running from thing to thing and being driven around by men. And then eventually she decides to unwish the wish and get with the grumpy Englishman. But she has to kind of run after him. That was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And because the grumpy Englishman inexplicably, in the pre-wish being denied, being rejected scene, is like, I can't be with you. Like, why not? You've literally just split up these two people's wedding. Why are you now turning around and going, I don't want to be with this person? This is very strange. I can sum up this movie in one scene, which is at the... I think it's at the pre-reception, the fake reception, or maybe it's at the wedding itself. Someone asks her, oh, how did he propose to you? Tell us how he proposed. And like that could be a fun scene where she then has to try and fabricate a fake story out of nowhere about it.
Yeah.
But instead, it's the most boring scene in the world where she witters on for about 30 seconds and then the Irishman takes over and says what really happened. And it's just like, this is what is the point of this? Why does this movie exist?
Yeah. That was an incredibly uncomfortable scene, but not for the reasons that it should have been.
This movie feels like it was created by aliens trying to make a movie about human beings.
Yeah. About yeah. Ireland.
You hear all this stuff about, AI is going to write film scripts and novels. It's like, this is what that feels like.
Yeah, but I feel like AI might have been able to do some research on the geopolitical problems or issues that this film decided to completely ignore.
I think
genuinely, an AI-generated script might have been better.
I think ChatGPT would probably double down because it would emphasize it too much, wouldn't it? And then it would be like, it's just a tone deaf, somehow it's both tone deaf and boring at the same time.
That's the thing as well. At no point is it even like so bad it's good. There's no lines that are like funny non sequiturs or like stuff that's really out of place. It is just dull.
Yeah.
It is a real wet fish of a film.
Yeah, it's just what is the
point? And I feel like Leap Year was hateful. Like I felt at least a little bit energized with Leap Year by how much I really loathed what it was doing. But in this film, I just couldn't work up that kind of energy. Because look at Ed Spillier's. Like his performance wasn't terrible, was it?
No,
I thought
he was
actually quite good.
He's fine in this.
I thought he actually got the role he was playing and did it quite well. So that lent the film a sort of air of vague competence that distracted almost. That almost made it worse.
Yeah, it should have been someone considerably worse than him. I think the problem is, right, that this is once again Netflix making a faux Hallmark movie. And I'm getting really sick of that shtick now. Like the
it's
first...
some of the same people who were involved in the Christmas one, and apparently there's another one coming
as well. I'm sure there is.
They signed like a 3-film deal with Lindsay Lohan.
And the thing is, right, that the first time and the first couple of times they did that faux Hallmark Christmas movie thing, it kind of worked. And you're like, okay, well, it's all these actors who we don't really know. And then they introduced the Vanessa Hudgens ones, which were entertaining and actually...
Those are goofy. Those have got genuine goof factor. And A Christmas Prince. I genuinely love A Christmas Prince.
Yeah.
Right? It's so stupid and so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and like, it knows what it's doing, but yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, like the Princess Switch is... Those movies are silly, but again... They kind of tie into the love for that kind of movie very well. Whereas this one in particular, and a couple of the other ones that we've looked at, it's just so cynically trying to do that. It's the same as Sharknado, where Sharknado, they're deliberately making a bad movie that completely misses what works about bad movies. This is deliberately trying to make one of those bad Hallmark movies, but missing what's comforting about watching those bad Hallmark movies. So instead it's just boring.
Or what can be fun and engaging about it as well, if you choose to poke fun at yourself. Like, there is zero sense of fun in this, is there? There is no attempt whatsoever at, like, genuine self-aware humour. There's lots of, like, attempted jokes and kind of funny lines written in there and quips, but none of them really land, do they?
Yeah, I don't think I laughed a single time in this film. Which is not... I laugh at stuff quite a lot in movies. I'm very easy to make laugh.
You said that like you had to defend that. Like... I'm a laughter man, I love to laugh.
I'm not some pretentious movie person who doesn't, you know. We watched Holmes and Watson and had a whale of a time laughing at that, you
know. Your name does not begin with P and end in Bradshaw.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a Bradshaw. I do like things that are silly, that are lowbrow, that aren't the greatest art in the world, and if it's not art, then it's not worth anything at all. But this movie's just shit.
Yeah, I laughed at when she decided not to go through with the marriage, and everyone was annoyed, and suddenly everyone was fighting. The Irish guy's dad was like, "Go on, son, you got this!" Like trying to encourage him to punch the other guy. That made me laugh.
I see. No, that did not make me laugh. Did you like the scene in the pub where everyone just randomly started?
Yeah, because that's what happens in Ireland.
That's what happens in Ireland. What made me chuckle was nothing within this movie, but just an idea in my head that I drifted away to because this movie was so boring, is that her surname is Kelly, much like Charlie Kelly in Always Sunny, so whose dad is Irish. So in my head I was thinking, oh my god, this is a prequel. This is Charlie Kelly's mum. whose nickname is Bonnie. That's not her real name. Her real name is Maddie Kelly. And this is actually the story about how she fell in love with an Irishman and then would then go on to give birth to Charlie. And actually, it's an Always Sunny prequel. But then, of course, it was all ruined by her actually falling for an Englishman. Yep.
I'm glad you were able to give yourself that bit of headcanon.
I was... Yeah, it's like a kid getting bored and just
my daydream was that, you know, they had that thing about him going to photograph a Bolivian tree lizard. My headcanon was that like the sequel would be them going to Bolivia to do that, and the tree lizard like bites them and it's venomous and then they both die.
Now that would be a movie. That would be a movie.
Or it turns into like a sort of like survival thing where they have to race against time to get the antidote, or like there's like hundreds upon hundreds of the lizards all chasing them.
I would watch that. give us that movie. I know it might be hard on your tiny, tiny budget, but come on.
I could afford some lizards.
Yeah, give us some lizards. So this movie's just... I really want Netflix to move away from this kind of nonsense, but I know they're not because it's so cheap to make.
It's cheap, it's easy.
Like, you think about the actual rom-coms they've made, right? Like, was it called Set It Off?
Set It Off. Set It Up.
Set It Up.
That one was good, I thought. That one was all right. Was that the one where they were, like, working together for different, like... bosses, dickhead bosses, and then they bonded over that. I like that one.
They set their bosses up. or what's the one? Always Be My Maybe.
That one was good.
Great film.
That was the one where Keanu Reeves played himself.
Yes.
That was a stroke of genius. And again, that I thought was good use of like a big name star. He wasn't the protagonist. He wasn't the main guy on the poster. But he was in it for about 10 to 15 key minutes where it like really made a difference. And just sort of you're like, oh yeah, Keanu Reeves is in that. But it wasn't about that, was it?
No, exactly. And so, you know, they can make those really good romantic comedies. However, why would they make more of those when they can make a movie like this, get just as many views, and it costs a fraction of the money, and it's a lot easier, and they don't have to deal with actually creating something of any quality?
Yeah.
And that's a big problem, that they don't need to think about that, because they know that they can just churn out the junk and people will watch it.
Yeah, it's slop. And that's the thing with, especially as you're saying, with AI-generated content, it's a downward spiral, isn't it? It's a race to the bottom.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is that the AI-generated content is never going to create anything that is even remotely capable of being properly published or taken up by Netflix or anything like that, because the technology is incapable of doing it, because it's basically a slightly more complicated Google search. It's never going to, because it's now going to start feeding into other AI generated content, which is just going to make everything considerably worse.
They call it the slop loop.
Yeah. The quality of AI is already close to, or already at the point of the highest level of quality. It will just become more complex from now. Like I saw someone talking about, oh, our new AI can generate an entire novel for you just by you writing one sentence. Like, yeah, I bet that's shit.
That's really readable.
Yeah. Like they can create more complex tech, but the end result is never going to get better. And like, you might see images that look a bit better, but it's still going to be soulless. You might see them being able to create videos, but they're still going to have zero narrative comprehension. You can see them creating longer written works, but again, zero comprehension there. So like, from an AI perspective, I don't see, lots of people are very doom-mongering, like, oh, it's inevitable that it's going to do stuff. It's like, no, people are going to pick it up because they think it's going to be cheaper than hiring a writer or an artist.
Yeah, the sort of economic implications are more of a problem than the creative ones, aren't they?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It can't replace a human brain. It can't think. That's the misconception that people have, I think.
Yeah, it's not intelligence.
It cannot it's not actually intelligent. It can't actually think. It's a computer. It's a very, very advanced computer. That's all it is.
It's not even that advanced.
Yeah.
To be honest, the technology behind generative AI is not very complicated.
No, it can just do things.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, what's going to happen? This is my prediction, and watch me be completely wrong about this in 5 years. Is there going to be loads of push from idiot CEOs and idiot leadership to implement AI in all of these different places? It's going to go catastrophically fucking wrong. It's going to cost them loads to implement. And then it's going to cost them loads to then unimplement it. And basically, the only people that are going to have any success out of it are the evil bastards who create generative AI platforms. And then things are going to continue. A lot like a lot of other footnotes in tech that have appeared along the years that have been these panaceas to problems.
You leave my mini disc player alone. You leave the Sega CD alone.
But like, you look at things like crypto and blockchain and NFTs. This is basically
those people are still out there, though, aren't they? Those Web3 nerds.
Well, a lot of them moved on to doing generative AI shit. That's the thing. It's the same population groups, because they know that they'll be able to sucker UK MPs who are completely illiterate when it comes to tech.
Do you think if ChatGPT hadn't come out, like, the monkey JPEG guys would still be doing their monkey JPEG thing?
I don't know. The problem is that, like, these people are solely driven by how many people they can sucker in. So I think NFTs in particular had such a short shelf life for that grift. Like, that pyramid scheme was only going to last a very short amount of time. That, I don't know, maybe they would have just drifted into nothing and then reappeared when generative AI turned up.
That's the thing. It's the golden age of grift. And in a way, this kind of content churn is grift on a massive scale, isn't it? Because it's just it's so low quality, isn't it? It's so disappointing. It feels like you've been scammed into watching this film, doesn't it? Like, yeah. No one would actually choose to watch this of their own free will if they knew how boring it was.
Yeah, and the thing is, right, that if the entirety of Netflix's output was stuff like this, they would lose subscribers immediately to go somewhere mm-hmm. else. But they know that they can put this shit out and occasionally put this shit out with a big name in it like Lindsay Lohan. The rest of the time put this shit out with nobody useful involved and know that that'll help people feel like, oh, this is just a bad movie, but it's okay because I've also got XYZ to watch. I've got the three-body problem adaptation to watch instead.
I've got the new Scott Pilgrim.
And so basically...
I've got all of Studio Ghibli. Yeah, not all, but almost all.
But yeah, like in terms of their sort of exclusive stuff, like like the three-body problem adaptation that's come out recently.
Have you been watching that? I've seen posters for it.
No,
everywhere.
I mean, it looks good, but at the moment I'm rewatching The X-Files.
Oh, you're still on that train?
Yes, I'm season 7 now, so I'm actually nearly through it. I think it goes up to 11, doesn't it? And season 9 is the end of the first run, and then they did a couple of extras, I think. So I've been watching that. And then maybe I'll move on to Three Body Problem, or maybe I'll go back and start The Expanse from the beginning, or Ooh. Who knows. I'll do something. What I won't be doing is watching Irish Wish again, because this movie is fucking awful.
No, terrible. No one has ever... If you have watched this film more than once, you need to...
You've nearly watched it more than once.
That's true, half and half.
Yeah, yeah. There's this danger zone there, Paddy.
Highway to the Irish Wish. No, I'm on Netflix now, looking at all the content that they have that makes it worth
Irish
it.
Wish.
Yeah, that isn't Irish Wish. They have quite a lot of anime, actually. And Castlevania animes on there. Which I actually couldn't get into, even the new one. All the Pokemon's on there. That's the thing. Yeah, not Detective Pikachu, though.
There's some Pokemon on Amazon as well.
Is there?
It's kind of split across multiple places, yeah.
I should check. We watched a couple more episodes of Pokemon Journeys. It's good. It's only a few weeks until my older son's Pokemon birthday party. Very excited.
Very nice. Very nice. Are you dressing as a Pokemon?
I haven't planned that, but maybe I should.
You 100% should.
Which one? Which one should he? Should he Charizard?
You should do...
Or Snorlax. That would suit my large large frame.
I nearly bought myself a Snorlax onesie the other day because I was just like, oh, I love Snorlax so much. No, you should go as a giant Psyduck.
I think you'd like that.
Hire a Psyduck costume.
I actually think you'd enjoy that because Psyduck was a big feature in Pokemon Concierge and you loved that.
Hell yeah, I loved that so much.
So nice, isn't it?
Brilliant show. That's the kind of Netflix exclusive that is well worth it.
100%.
Why was there only 4 episodes though?
Where's I know, the but they're making of, more, aren't
the
they?
Of it? Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That should be a permanent show. That should be on forever. And it's a disgrace that it's not. I'd even accept it not being stop motion animated, which I'm sure takes up a lot of time, and just turning into a cartoon. It's so much better than the normal Pokemon cartoon.
I'd be cool with that.
It's not beholden to the rest of the Pokemon stuff, and it's just silly Pokemon nonsense on an island. I would just chill. Thoroughly enjoy it.
The gulf between how good that is and how bad Irish Wish is like planet-sized.
Yeah, 100%.
It's ridiculous that they're even on the same platform.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, have you got anything else you want to say about Irish Wish?
I don't know if I do. I feel like I should have dug into it a bit more, but no, it's terrible.
I mean, the problem is that it's just very bland, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember loads of it.
Yeah, unlike Leap Year.
It's not a film that stays with you, is it?
No, like Leap Year, I can still think of various ridiculous scenes in that movie, whereas this is just going to fade from memory instantly.
Yeah, that's the other thing in Leap Year. Like Matthew Good, I hated him in that film, but he played a really objectionable character very well, and you can't argue with that, can you? Like I have flashbacks of him standing. There's some scene where they're like standing on the side of a road arguing, and he's like berating her for some reason, which was genuinely quite an offensive scene, and like that's etched in my memory.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, there's all of those kind of scenes.
Whereas Irish Wish is offensive in its carelessness towards Ireland and its subject matter, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and also offensive in the fact that it's just, it gives zero fucks about audience enjoyment. It's one of the most boring films I think I've watched for this podcast.
Yeah, it's offensive in a very dull way.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, are you going to say that you're offending people again, Richard? Oh, yeah, why don't you do that?
You know what else I irrationally hate?
What else do you irrationally
hate? The song September by Earth, Wind & Fire, which features in Irish Wish. So that just made me hate it even more.
Why do you hate that movie? I know. I like that song.
It's because it's one of those wedding disco old people songs, isn't it?
Is it? You know, I've never heard it at a wedding disco.
I don't know. I'd always associate it with just like bad discos.
I don't know. I've never heard it there. I think you hate it for some other reason. I think there's some locked up reason why you despise that.
Probably is. I need to explore that in therapy. It's like the Macarena. I've told you about the Macarena, right?
No, I have not heard this.
The reason I absolutely detest the Macarena is because I think it was like year 5 or year 6 disco came on and everyone started doing the moves and I'd never heard it before. I had no idea what was going on and everyone laughed at me. It was genuinely like a traumatic, yeah. A very traumatic experience. So it was obviously banned. So as a consequence, any song with like a sort of choreographed dance move was banned from our wedding playlist.
That's good because most of them are very bad.
Yeah. Electric Slide, whatever. Oh. Yeah. Went through all of those. And I was like, fuck no. People are going to dance. You're going to dance however you like.
People should be allowed to dance how they want.
Yeah. And everyone did, which is great.
That's the key facet of dance.
Yeah, I mean, I know we choreographed a couple of moves for our first dance, but that's just to bring a little, to kick off the party.
I liked it when you did the worm.
Yeah, the earthworm gym. but yeah, I don't know why, I just irrationally hate that song, and I know it's stupid and unfair, but...
It's all right, we've all got our irrational hatreds.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And some rational ones, too.
And some rational ones, like how much I despise Richard Gervais. He's never been funny in his life.
No. The Office was good. That's the only good thing that he's ever done.
It was all right, and let's be honest, it was mainly Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
Like, zero time for him. Unfunny hack.
Yeah.
Anyway, right.
So,
How are we rating Irish Wish?
Oh, God. How
many hours does it take you to realize that your wish has been granted?
Yeah, how long do you have to walk around going, oh, this has happened, and that has happened, and this is different, and the man I love is here in the shower, but you don't get to see his bum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that would have been nice if that happened, because it would have brought some levity to it, you know?
It would, but you don't get that in this movie. This is getting a 2. It takes me 2 hours to figure out that the wish has been granted. This movie is trash.
I think that's fair. This movie is just bad in every possible way.
Yeah. So next, right, we had a couple of thoughts, didn't we?
Yeah, we floated a few different ideas, didn't we?
So Poor Things, if you want some Yorgos Lanthimos, is on Disney+.
It is.
Or we were going to do a Roadhouse double bill.
Oh, yes. Yes. We also floated the film Valley Girl starring punk Nicolas Cage in the 80s.
Yes.
Which
is
another one. So,
which I'll let you pick.
Actually, let's do Poor Things because that's current.
Yeah.
And I've heard quite mixed things about it. And
more
like
mixed things.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
More like.
What did I say?
Well, that's what you said, but you should have said more like mixed things because the name of it is Poor.
Oh, I see. That gag went over my head completely. Much like some of Yorgos Lanthimos' films, I'm sure, the ones that I haven't seen. Because, like I said before, I thought The Favourite was really good. We loved that. That was the film with the naked duck racing. Yes. And then The Lobster was kind of okay, but had one of the worst scores imaginable. Yeah, that I've ever heard in film.
Your teeth on edge, didn't they?
You really did. So I'm really hoping that it's not the same composer from Poor Things. No offense to whoever that was. and I also think Poor Things, it looks like there's a lot to like about it, but it's also a very creepy concept. So yeah, I'm quite intrigued by it.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm intrigued by it. Never read the book. I'm excited to find out what this is all about.
Cool. All right, I'm excited. No, I'm just double checking that it isn't the same composer as the Lobster.
It's not. It seems like it's someone new.
That's good. The Lobster. Music by
some guy called Jerskin Fendricks.
Yeah.
Oh. Real name, Jocelyn Dent Pooley, an English composer and musician.
You're in. You're my new best friend. No, I'm quite intrigued to see it, and good that it's come to Disney Plus relatively soon after being in the cinema.
I'm just warning you, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page and it says, in 2018, Fendricks wrote the appropriately abrasive score for a performance of the play Ubu Ra by Alvin Jerry. So watch out for something that might also be appropriately abrasive. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm going into it with an open mind.
Yeah, cool.
It's got Willem Dafoe in it. It couldn't be bad.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's round this up. I've got to go deal with a baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. Hope you did not enjoy Irish Wish. I hope you didn't watch it. If you did, I'm sorry. You can find us on Twitter at Big Boys Don't Pod. You can email us bigboysdon'tcrypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week to talk about Poor Things. Mixed Things.
Alrighty.
Nuts. Nuts.
These nuts. Alrighty, bye-bye.
Oh, I set you up for that one.